Welcome back to At Bigore, a show of random conversations by people with bigore, sometimes educational, surprisingly insightful, but mostly random and tangential. Today, we're going to talk about, as part of my nostalgia list, we are going to talk about our top 5 animes from our childhood. And speaking of animes, if you've been listening, I brought my friend, whom I like to talk about most with anime, AJ.
Hey Gab, thanks for having me again.
Yeah, I'll always invite you for any anime related topics. Maybe not movies, because you have a lot of movies to watch, as you've said from our previous episode.
Yeah, a lot of backlog still to be watched.
Mm-hmm. And a bit of a life update, since I have a new job, it's actually nearer to AJ's current office. Hopefully when the pandemic ends, we'll get to meet up once more.
Yeah, I miss coffee.
Yeah, coffee, anything, maybe, I don't know, there's some ramen places I've seen, because I'm actually, from time to time, I'm going to the office, but just twice a week. AJ still hasn't left his house.
Yeah, I haven't left home in a year. Maybe a couple of grocery runs here and there, but yeah, mostly at home.
Mm-hmm, I see. So let's get right to it. First, let's talk about the rules. It isn't rules per se, but it should be an anime that we grew up watching. There's no particular year restriction, but obviously you can't say, for example, My Hero Academia and stuff, because that was released like, what, 5 years ago? I don't know.
A little less, but yeah.
Something that influenced our taste in animes. As well, that's it for the rules. Not too strict. Maybe you have an anime that you watch a little bit older that influenced you. I do have some mine here, but when I check its release date, just so happens here in the Philippines, we get our anime a bit later. Usually, now it's okay, but during the 90s, we got our anime depending on popularity. It sometimes arrived in our country 3 to 5 years later.
Yeah, you get copyrights and stuff. So it's the luxury that we have now with the internet. Things are more accessible. Way back, you only have your only televisions and the networks. Sometimes they do have good choices, but for most part, I question their choices.
Well, sometimes like, for example, there were some animes that were really popular, but our country didn't know it was mature. So after a few episodes, it got banned. I think you know this anime. It has a girl and a dog.
Wait.
Yeah.
There's a lot of girls and dogs, but enlighten me.
They went fusion.
Oh, was it banned? I think it was completed. That section was, I think, censored, but I think the anime was still aired.
When I watched it, I think it was released exactly during its air, but when they realized it was a bit mature, they canceled it a bit and then re-released it, cutting out those mature scenes, maybe.
Yeah. And that series has a rerun, so, well, I think I watched the latter one.
Yeah. Is it part of your top 5?
No. Right. It's one of my all-time, but not on this list.
Yeah, again, this is not an all-time list. Mine is actually rated 5 to 1. I don't know about you, AJ. Is it 5 to 1 or just your preference?
I'll try not to go to the 5 to 1 list, because it's, in my opinion, it's hard when you have your personal biases. Mm-hmm. So I'll try to stay off the 5 to 1 list.
Yeah, it's fine. But for me, if it was not a nostalgia-driven list, it would change. And as well as, some of these don't even make my top 5 all time. And afterwards, we are going to list our honorable mentions. Obviously, there are lots of animes we watch. And we only have 5 animes to list. Alright, without further ado, I'll start. My number 5 is Yu Yu Hakusho, or in the Philippines, Ghost Fighter.
Interesting pick.
Yep, just to give you a heads up, if we have the same pick for the same number, you'll have to reveal it and we'll discuss why we liked it.
Sure.
All right. So with Yu Yu Hakusho, Some people do not know this is the predecessor to Hunter x Hunter, or some may call it Hunter x Hunter. They are from the same creator. It's really shonen type, and it was a real shame that when they went to the arc, the Demon World arc, it ended there because the writer couldn't figure out how to, didn't have time to expand the lore of it. While, as you can see, if you are really a weeb like us in Hunter x Hunter, the world is so very vast. He had a lot of time to figure out. I think you could say Yu Yu Hakusho was his prototype for Hunter x Hunter. And for me, the bar for tournament arcs is set by Yu Yu Hakusho. This has the best tournament arc ever, I would say.
I would agree on the tournament arcs. They had one of the most action-packed tournament arcs, in my opinion, when it comes to shonen animes. Mm-hmm.
The way why tournament arcs are very popular, it's because you get to see each of the main characters fight, and they have their own storylines and character development. While in some anime, you just only get to see the main character fight.
And just to add to that, I love how tournament arcs show us a sense of urgency. The way that a character can train before, or the preparation he does prior to the actual fight, mm-hmm. and the changes that could happen within the actual fight. So a good example of this is Hiei.
Yeah.
There was one time where he was trying to control the Black Dragon, mm-hmm. and forgot who the enemy was, but he had to sacrifice one of his arms. So this was not something that you prepare for, but that scene actually empowered that character to a certain level that he was so cool that I think a lot of kids shifted their biases towards him at that point.
Yeah, because at the start of the anime, Hiei, or Vincent, at the time was a bad guy. Typical trope of bad guy becoming an ally in anime. And he was actually the most coolest character there. But I preferred Kurama. A bit gay, if you will. Pink hair,
I would say
rose.
Pretty boy.
But I really like his transformation and the foxtail type character. The kitsune? Yeah, I really like the concept of that.
Yeah, and I would have to say he was more of the intellectual type. So he's the type that, the silent type, that if you piss off, then all else gets screwed. So he was cool as well, in my opinion.
Yep. all right, let's go to your number five.
For my, I wouldn't say number five, but yeah, let's go with number five. This is the first isekai that I actually watched.
Ooh.
So it is Digimon.
Oh my god.
So, contrary to popular belief, I would like to believe that this is an isekai rather than like monsters and stuff. You get, although the concept is pretty weird, mm-hmm. getting children digitally transported to another world.
Yep.
But during my younger days, mm-hmm. I had like one or two imaginary friends. And this was one of those animes that enabled you to be more imaginative on mm-hmm. how your imaginary friends could take form.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain values that was also shown in this anime. It's not all happy and flowers and rainbows, as I would say. But I would also consider this my earliest exposure to gacha. So,
I guess,
in a way, because I wouldn't say they decide then on who their partners will be. So, in a sense, I always thought of it like luck on who they would be picking.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended out well. Well, you got your plot armor to decide those. But having children and the power of friendship during that time, that's one of the best things that I think I had mm-hmm. in my childhood days. Having a figure of how friendship mm-hmm. work.
Digimon actually didn't make it to my top five, but it still holds a place in my heart. It's actually one of my honorable mentions, since AJ already mentioned it, so I'm just gonna add some tidbits. It was actually some sort of, what do you call it, a copy of Pokemon, if you will. But as well as with any, like right now in the current gen, all isekais are a copy of each other. So many.
Yeah.
Yep. But if you look at Pokemon right now, it becomes dated. But Digimon actually has, for me, better character development, plot development. And
yeah,
with regards to the nostalgia, actually Digimon, when they announced the new anime of Digimon Try, which is the third season of Digimon, probably fourth, wherein the characters are already grown up, not really grown up, but from children, they are now high schoolers or college students, I forgot. It actually triggered a pang of nostalgia for me.
Yeah, especially for Digimon Try, it brought a closure to the series. There were a couple of seasons, but when you look at the first season, going mm-hmm. back, it had this nostalgia that wasn't closed. You were always wondering how it would have happened if they were brought into the world.
Yep.
So for Try, it got a closure, and at the same time, you understand at that point that all things come to an end.
Yep.
Especially those special moments in your life. So Digimon Try was one of those that brought your nostalgia a special ending that basically leaves a mark on your heart or in your memory whenever you remember it.
Yep, it was really special. The ending, I would say, is a bit depends on the person, because I don't really agree on how the characters ended.
well, yeah, that would be a opinionated
yep.
ending. But well, for me, it was special given that it had a lot of nostalgia.
Yep. All right, let's go to my number four. This actually is the first Gundam that was able to reach Western audiences. And I would agree that this isn't the best Gundam, but it's not the worst. This is Gundam Wing.
Same.
You have the Gundam Wing as your number.
Yeah.
One. Yep.
Yeah.
That's fine. All right, with Gundam Wing, again, it's not the first Mecha Gundam you've seen on TV. There's probably like Voltis 5, Voltron, Deimos, I think.
Yeah, Deimos. But
Gundam Wing was more cool, if you will. Plot-wise, it was a bit lacking. But the characters themselves, aside from the main hero trying to be too cool, actually his name is Hero. The characters were quite unique, each one of them. All of them have their goals, and somehow they managed to team up to reach that common goal, which is to somehow give everybody freedom, I think. And as well as each Gundam was quite unique. Previous Gundam, like Gundam G, which is probably the better Gundam in terms of story, it's just a common Gundam robot which has like a gun and sword. While in Gundam Wing, you have five different Gundams, five specialties. It was really cool.
And the interesting part with Gundam G is it's let's just say it's a tournament arc in itself.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that I would say added and deducted to it. It had its high points, but for me, Gundam Wing was, as you mentioned, each character was more unique, and I like the way that the pilots during that time was not overpowered. They were human, and let's say they had their own skills that they are not dependent on their machines. So as much as the series revolves around wars and robots, it was amazing to see how specialized each pilot was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the favorite one would be for me, for Gundam Wing, is Duo Maxwell, because he was kind of the YOLO guy.
The Death Sight?
Yeah.
Yeah, as for me, my favorite was forgot his name. But the Gundam was Sandrock. I actually recently built my own Gunpla, which is my first Gundam was the Sandrock itself. And a bit of a tidbit here, I think Gundam Wing was the first Gundam series wherein the characters actually lost a battle and even lost their own Gundams so that the plot would be able to make them newer Gundams, such that like in some shonen anime, this is their training arc wherein they get better. You don't really see this in mecha genres, but usually you just see an upgrade, even though Gundams are supposed to be overpowered. Seeing them losing was nice.
Yeah, and also just to go back on that topic of upgrading, it was kind of fun to see, especially for Trias and if I'm not mistaken, it's Trias and Hero having to swap with their mobile units.
Yeah, they swap. Forgot the name. Was
the Epion?
No, it wasn't the Epion. It was the Tall Geese at first.
At first. So having to see them pilot not their own machines was also interesting in a way.
They had respect for each other, even though they were on opposing ends.
Yeah, that's something that you don't realize as a child, though.
Yeah,
the respect that you can gain with the strength of the character. This is something fictional, though. When you like, I'm strong and he's strong, then like a sense of rivalry per se. Mm-hmm.
All right, my number three, which is it's a different genre. It's a sports anime. And since I also like to play basketball, my third anime is Slam Dunk.
It is my number two.
Oh, but yeah, you can swap it around since your list doesn't really count 5-1, but my list really counts. All right, so that we can discuss this simultaneously, if you will. So why do I like Slam Dunk? It's because aside from I like basketball, the main character, Sakuragi, started as a very athletic person but doesn't know anything about basketball. So you get to learn basketball as he struggles to play to the team. And because of that, you didn't have to like basketball, like for example AJ, to appreciate Slam Dunk. Because you were learning with Sakuragi while he is learning as well.
Yeah. So for Slam Dunk, that's one of the plus points, is that it was something that you can go through, especially if you're not an athletic person.
Yep.
For me, I would say that Slam Dunk is even the best sports anime of all time because of one thing, its realism. Mm-hmm. Given the way sports animes have transformed over time, it's the realism the relatability of Slam Dunk, which was the major selling point for me. The fact that you can see the struggles of not only the team wherein Sakuragi is part of, but their opponents being talented, being quote-unquote way stronger than they are. So the sense of seeing them training, even getting players who are actually part of the team, but have gone astray.
Yep.
One of my favorite characters is Miyagi.
Yeah.
So, so having seen how much they really love the game, but due to their personal reasons or whatnot, character development, they had situations. So seeing those passion and seeing how much they care about the game and their journey going back, and the journey to the tournaments. So it was fun being part of that. No special moves, but it was fun seeing, especially, forgot the name of the eyeglasses guy, the sixth man. I love that there's a meme wherein he shot a ball and it was a 3-day episode.
Yep, actually.
Right?
Yeah.
It just shows you that even those guys who are not necessarily skilled, but they spend time, love, and respect for the game, you will see that they have their moments. And for me, as a person who not necessarily plays basketball, but during my childhood, I do shoot some hoops, like even alone.
Yeah.
just being able to relate the fun of seeing that ball go through that hoop, it was fun, I would say.
Yeah, just a bit of a tidbit here. The manga was eventually canceled because the mangaka was sued because he was using NBA basketball cards as reference for poses in the manga. I don't know if you can get sued that we're just using a picture.
Yeah, I didn't think that copyright would go that far.
Yeah, and as you can see, if you also, this was a 90s manga, so he really took a lot of inspiration from Michael Jordan's Chicago Bulls. That's why Shuhoku is the red, white,
red,
and black.
Michael Jordan, everybody loves him.
Yeah, even though I have my biases, I can't say Slam Dunk is really the best sports anime because the Japanese really are very dedicated to whatever their passion is. And I've seen some anime, but it's not my sport, so I don't really watch it a lot. There have been, especially, I think baseball is more popular. The way they interpret the Koshien, which is the inter-high.
For Japan, yeah.
Yeah, for Japanese baseball, while in Slam Dunk, it was inter-high for basketball, as well as ever-popular worldwide football. And right now, I haven't seen it, but Haikyuu, the current volleyball sports anime, is really good.
Yeah, I would agree that it's really good. But then again, this is my bias speaking. Well, given that, yeah, as you mentioned, Japan is more of a baseball country rather than a basketball country. Yeah. But yeah, then again, Philippines love their own basketball. So maybe it's my nationalism something inside of me.
It's fine. Like I agree that in the Philippines, in every corner there is a 7-Eleven and there is also a basketball court.
True.
But just a bit more tidbit here before I go to my number two. For those who haven't read, you should really read the manga. It explores how they went into inter-high, how the tournament went. I won't show any spoilers. But if you must know, it's one of those manga I cried because of the story. Anyways, let's go to number two. If you've watched this anime, you would want to watch this because it has guns, it's a Western scene, and you have a really cool character. But when you watch it, you would realize it's more of a comedy and more of a drama. I'm talking about Trigun. Do you have this as well, EJ, or no?
No. Okay. It is worth mentioning, though, that it is one of the, how do you say this, early animes that introduced guns in the Philippines, though.
Yo.
And he has a badass way of carrying that guns.
The intro was really cool. It was like a guitar solo from somebody.
Yeah.
And seeing the character having a gun and seeing how cool his character design is, Bash the Stampede. But when I started watching it, I was like, what? As much as possible, Bash wouldn't use his gun, which is kind of funny. And it was more of a drama of him trying to find peace without using violence and without using gun. Though when he did use his guns, there were really cool scenes where there was the first time he used his gun. He just shot the enemy 7 times in the bad guy's weapon and destroyed it. And then he would say his signature, love and peace.
Yeah, I remember the love and peace, damn it. that was cool. He had his own tagline.
Yep, and it was actually really mature and filled with drama because his enemies would try to make Vash use his gun. And as well as during the anime, he also lost a friend because he couldn't use his guns. And as well as Vash was also forced to kill somebody so that his main love wouldn't die. So that was a main plot. That's how Vash evolved as a character. However, during the ending, it suddenly went Big Bang. Suddenly, they have an overpowered gun. It kind of turned me off because even though it was cool as a child, but we're not going super Saiyan here. I don't understand why suddenly their guns were like super powered laser beams. That was a bit of a weird moment for me in the last scenes. However, in personal bias, I would really rate Trigun as like my top one. However, for nostalgia, it's just my number two.
All right. Yeah, the thing with Trigun is I remember it vaguely because it was one of those that I didn't really watch. But one of the things that I would clearly remember though is that it has a very nice QTE. If that's what you call it, quick time
yep.
animations, like before even the Matrix was
yep.
shooting guns in close range. Mm-hmm. I think I remember they had those things there.
Yeah, the animation was really nice. But again, if you were a kid who liked fighting anime, you wouldn't really watch it because it was really like a comedy of Bash trying to evade fighting.
Yeah.
I guess your number three because it was Love Dunk. So what's your number two or three? I forgot.
Yeah. Let's go with another one on my list. This is one of the things that if you're a fan of Japanese culture, you'll be very curious to see how... Well, it's not necessarily exactly this, but it's more of ninjas. So
ninjas?
This is Flame of Recca.
Mm.
Well, he wasn't necessarily a ninja, but... quote unquote, he came from a ninja
yep.
clan. So, yeah. So the thing with him was he had dragons. So he was
was
a firebender before firebenders were existing. So yeah. Reka was this kid who lives in modern society,
mm-hmm.
but he figures out that he was taken away from hidden from. Quote unquote, the enemy so that he wouldn't be discovered, but
mm-hmm.
discovers at some point that he was a successor of controlling fire.
Yep.
And those fires were manifested in forms of dragons. He had 7 or 8, including his dad. So yeah. The thing with this is when he summons a dragon, he writes their name in the air.
Yep.
So as a kid, this was something that was really cool.
Yeah.
Being able to control one fire. Number two, it's dragons.
Yep.
And number three, even before Naruto was able to make jutsus and
stuff. Yeah, the hand seals, yeah.
He was making writing in air. And these dragons have their own unique skills. If you do watch My Hero Academia now, Deku, who is the main hero, has this quirk.
Yep.
Wherein his quirk is, well... spoiler alert for those who haven't read the manga.
It's fine.
Please turn your volumes down. But yeah, his quirk basically is a manifestation of the others' predecessors of the same quirk, which is the same for Reka. Basically, his flame dragons manifest the skills of the predecessors to control fire.
Yep.
So yeah. Also, he had a couple of friends along the way,
yep.
which is the interesting. They have this magic tools in this series. They call it,
I forgot
the names, but those tools have names. And there was a kid named Koganei. He had this some sort of puzzle weapon
yep.
that he can transform from a scythe to a
Caesar.
Scissor,
a chain sickle.
So it was one of those things that, how do you say this, played on your creativity for me.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, children do not play with fire, but I was playing with the lighters and trying to write in the air, summoning the names of those dragons like Nader. And yeah, so it was fun. And I always also wanted the arm bangle that they had. Like, it was a limiter. I would like to call it that time because whenever he took those off...
The flames would
go out of control. And, you know, shit's going down when when you remove limiters. So yeah, and I also had my first waifu back then, Ira. She was pretty.
Ira is the healer girl?
No, she was the wind girl who for most times were providing fan service, but hey.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, they had unique characters as well. I also like Flame of Recca. However, because the tournament arc, which is the final arc for Flame of Recca anime, the manga still continued, but I haven't read it much. Pales in comparison with Yu Yu Hakusho, that was the cut for me. But again, these animes were really fun at the time. And you also forgot to mention Recca could combine the dragons to have... Yeah, that was fine. A bit of a flaw was, I think the ending was rushed.
For the anime, yeah. Honestly, it was weird having the main antagonist die by a car.
Yeah, and as well as they skip fight scene because...
A lot.
Yeah, I think during the tournament, suddenly one of the Erika's opponents disqualified themselves so that they can fight immediately to the final antagonist, only for Recca to summon all the dragons and then the fight to be cut short because the boss ran away and then the antagonist went to catch him and then they died in that car accident. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, plot-wise, I wouldn't say Flame of Recca is the best given the underlying main boss was planning to kidnap just a girl, but then it's more of the action of the anime that I like.
Yeah,
more of, I would say, yeah, it's just nostalgia hitting me with those kinds of things. It's not the best, but hey, yeah. If you can be a firebender,
yep,
why not?
Well, I think in the manga they explore it a bit. There was one part wherein she breaks the beads of her weapon to increase her power. That was the only time. She was the only person in that anime who exploited the fact that you can do that with your weapons. It was a cool concept. However, I think at the time she used it during the final arc. So no other of the team was able to use that concept.
Yeah, it was a cute rabbit. I'm not sure if those were rabbits, but yeah. Breaking those beads, someone for wind sprites.
I think like that. And... Yeah. Speaking of firebenders, they also had a waterbender, Ice.
Yeah, he was one of the well, how do you say this? He was one of those guys who's primarily fixated on revenge.
Yeah.
So I forgot his name, but he had this handle for a sword, which is you would put any, he can
freeze
make
in a
freeze. Any liquid to make it a sword. At some point, he even used blood.
Yep.
Which was pretty cool. But then again, he was, I would say, less of the tool master, more of like an expert swordsman. So,
yeah.
Given the pool of characters, he was good, but I wouldn't say he did stand out much for me.
Yeah.
Unlike Kogine, who was more like a genius kid.
Yep.
Well, again, he's a kid, so... He had his flaws in terms of the way his mental process worked.
Yep.
So he wasn't that mature. But hey, for the most cases, kids are the most creative ones.
Yeah. As a kid, like with, for example, Digimon anime, we would try to relate more with the younger characters. So with Flame of Recca, I think everybody liked the Kogenai?
Kogane.
Yeah.
Kogane.
His weapon was really cool at the time.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's weird to have a scissor weapon, but hey, it works.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to my number one. And I'm really hoping we have the same number one. Because right now, I'm raising my hand, giving energy.
Unfortunately, no.
No.
Damn it.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah, okay. But it is definitely worth mentioning though.
Yep. So for those who didn't get the reference, my number one is Dragon Ball, and to Dragon Ball Z. So I guess this is the blueprint for shonen anime. actually this also started the tournament arcs for other animes as well. It started out with Goku as a kid. So most shonen anime starts out as being adventures, but it was very popular during those tournament arcs where Goku got to face his master and as well as Tien and then later Piccolo. And in some form, they kind of repeated this in Dragon Ball Z, but with just Goku only when they fought Cell. However, the main flaws for Dragon Ball is the spike in their power levels, because when Goku level ups, he needs to fight somebody stronger or else it would be kind of meaningless. So Goku kind of gets overpowered too quickly. And as well as any anime, the really bad parts were the fillers. Like with AG mentioning in Slam Dunk, 1 3-point shot was, I don't know, three episodes. While in the Dragon Ball Z in the Namek arc, it took like, what, 20 episodes for 1 minute where the planet was about to explode. And really iconic scenes from Dragon Ball Z for me were Goku first became Super Saiyan. And obviously, when we raise our hands to give Goku the energy spirit in the final arc. And one final tidbit, the Dragon Ball live action was so bad, but it gave fans hope because Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, created...
Super.
He created the Dragon Ball again. So yeah, we get to grow up, just like with Sakuragi, we get to learn basketball with him. But with Goku, we got to grow up from boys to being that young teen and to become Super Saiyan. And we even eventually help him save the world by giving our energy to him.
True. It's very nostalgic to see how Goku grew with from a kid with a tail to a guy who virtually saves a universe. So yeah, one thing that is funny in my opinion with regards to Dragon Ball is how much they exploited the Dragon Balls. So which at the end of like in Super, it wasn't really of essence anymore because it was more focusing of Goku raising his level again to another level, which is in a way how it all started anyway. Him growing from turning into a monkey to Super Saiyan 4 with a tail, still a monkey. Then up to a point where in he was using Ultra Instinct, basically in the realm of the gods. So I'm wondering what other colors they haven't still put on his hair. Maybe there's something yet coming in.
I don't know. I think I saw pink. Or was that monkey hair?
There was an arc. I think that was his alternate person. But that Goku guy was also transforming into Super Saiyan. So and you got Broly, like, I thought he was dead, but then again, he came back for another movie. But it's interesting how much, as kids, we grew up seeing Goku turn and mature. Because I wouldn't say he necessarily matured, but he had a family at the end of the day. That he wasn't the best father, though. But, like, sending your child to the desert with your previous enemy so that he can train wasn't the best move as a father, but being a part of that journey, seeing how he was like a friend to us. I remember the ending, that post that he always has was like waving back at you. So sa Tagalog, they would have this line, hanggang sa muli. He was having that line at the end, so you know that there was something coming more. There was something to look forward to with Goku.
Yeah, and the way they made Dragon Ball Z, they first created Gohan, so the new generation could grow up with Gohan like we did with Goku. However, Goku was too popular, so it shifted back to being Goku as the main character for Dragon Ball Z. And however, to appeal to the newer generation, in Dragon Ball GT, they just made Goku into a child. And as well as, again, the best type of anime when Toriyama revived Dragon Ball into Dragon Ball Super was just to, again, create a tournament arc. It worked well. It's really good, actually.
Yeah, and Super was something that the fans was awaiting for, yeah, honestly.
It lived up to its hype. Unlike GT. Kind of GT that didn't really live up to its hype. So I'm a bit disappointed Dragon Ball is not your number one. So what's your number one?
Yeah, my number one anime is something that's still ongoing even up to now. Ooh. Even...
Oh.
Yeah, so it is something that always sparked my mystery and crimes interest. Mm-hmm. So what I'm talking about is Case Closed, Detective Conan.
Yeah, I respect that. Just so happens I didn't watch it a lot when I was a child. So go on.
Yeah. As a child, you were always... How do you say this? I wasn't aware of Sherlock Holmes, mm-hmm, as a kid. So my first exposure to Sherlock Holmes basically is Detective Conan. And Detective Conan wasn't necessarily a children's anime. So it was an anime of a high school detective who was investigating crimes. You don't normally get these kinds of premise back in the day wherein children or high schoolers were involved in crimes like murders, robberies, and stuff. And there was an early exposure to secret organizations. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting premise wherein you get this high school detective drugged by a secret organization to turn into a child. And this child now tries to solve crimes by whatever means is available to him. So as I mentioned, this has been ongoing. So I haven't really caught up to it right now because it's like 900 or more episodes already. Oh, but the thing with mysteries is that you're not tied to one plot line. You can always like treat it as a per crime mystery. Mm-hmm. That is why I really love Detective Conan, is that it depends on the author, on how creative he can be when it comes to the mysteries that he can come up to. Mm-hmm. The only gripe that I have with Detective Conan is that after all this time, I've grown older, he's still a kid, and he still hasn't found a cure for whatever drug he has. So yep. I'm wondering if he'll die a kid or whatnot, but he has a lot of friends, and he even had a crossover with Lupin. So
yep,
this anime for me is my number one because it has, how do you say this, the nostalgia factor is there. And even if I pick up like an episode here and there, I do watch the movies as well from mm-hmm time to time. Since they are unique cases, I can still reminisce that same feeling of like, wow, how did that work, especially when they're mm-hmm explaining the reasoning behind or decoding the crime. It's kind of fun for me because it still has that same flavor that it has like 20-30 years ago for me.
Yeah, and if you were a curious kid, it was really nice exercise to the mind watching this anime, learning and being in awe how they were able to do those plots. And I'd like to also point out that even though the anime is episodic, it was still really good.
Yeah, and just going back to Conan, it's not, how do you say this, their mysteries are not that heavy.
Yeah,
it's something that you can put your mind around. I wouldn't say I'm the smartest kid in the block, but it was something that I appreciate because it's something that I could understand.
Were you able to solve the mysteries before they explained?
That's the thing. I didn't. Up until now, I can't. So, yeah.
It's fine. It means the writing is very good. It's not very just plot twists here and there. It's just they had a specific plot for it so that you'll be curious enough and not be able to solve it on your own.
Yeah, and for the most part that I remember, the funny thing is that most of the culprits They do admit at the end of the deduction of the detective, when everything has been explained, they tend to break down and like, yeah, I did it for these reasons. And it's kind of funny because if you think of other mysteries, there would be like struggle, shootout. But for the most part, they are children friendly because they do just break down and admit to their crime.
Yeah, I guess. Damn those pesky kids. I wouldn't have gotten away with it.
Yeah, it's interesting how children can foil your plans, even though you thought of it all planned out.
Yeah, and as a kid, you also wanted to be like, yeah, I can do that as well.
Yeah, true.
All right. And with that, that ends our list. All right, let's do some honorable mentions. And I'll just say three. One would make my top 10 all time, which is Cowboy Bebop. 2 would be also a good anime. It's Samurai X or Rurouni Kenshin, because who wouldn't want to be a samurai? And 3, this is like the only magical girl I watch, it's Card Captor Sakura. It was really hard not to put this in my top 5. However, since I'm more shonen, I had to cut this as well.
Yeah, I would agree for your top 3. I also have 3 from my list.
Yeah.
Well, Rurouni Kenshin is definitely there. You got to respect the swordplay.
Yep.
Cardcaptor Sakura is also there because I'm a Clannad fanboy. Although my favorite Clannad would be Tsubasa Chronicles. Mm. But then again, you would see Sakura there and Shaoran there as well in different forms.
Yeah.
The last one would be something that's having a remake this season, is Shaman King.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that as well, the remake one.
It was hard for me not... I was thinking of putting this in the top 5 mm-hmm. for nostalgia, but yeah, the one that we have on just simply had more nostalgic effect on me. Or, let's say, formative of how my preferences now are more inclined.
If we had more time, we could have listed more.
Definitely.
It's always fun talking anime with you. Do you have any more things to say with your nostalgia list?
I would say this list isn't necessarily the entirety of it, because you have to understand there's a lot of anime that came out during those time, and there might even be something that you've watched and have just simply forgotten. This is more of like recency bias, trying to remember. You definitely don't remember everything. Like, for example, I did watch Sailor Moon, but it didn't have that
effect.
Sort of effect to me. Maybe my cousins, I was watching it with them, but I didn't want to be Tuxedo Mask and have a harem.
Yeah, and again, to the listeners out there, if we didn't list an anime, it's because, again, this is a biased nostalgia. It's what we grew up with. I would even say there should have been, I don't know, like, for example, Sailor Moon or Ranma. But again, it's not that because we didn't watch those anime, it's just that those didn't have really an effect on us growing up.
Just lesser.
But we did watch. We're weebs here.
Yeah. There's a lot of opinions. But hey, these are our opinions. So.
Yep. And I'm looking forward to having you here with me. Probably for another anime type episode or something else. Hopefully not always anime. Because AJ is more than just anime, guys.
Yeah. It's something that I'm excited about. But hey, guys. Let's try something new.
All right. And again, thanks for listening to What Bigore. If you enjoyed this episode, don't miss out. Follow us on Spotify and Facebook. And I really do appreciate it if you could comment. Well, until next time, cheers. Bye.